The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Thursday, June 24th, and we've got all kinds of great conference finals action to talk about here on the number one N-word extravaganza.
Let's go! We've made it, guys! We've made it! The number word nigga extravaganza. Somebody said it's a slurstravaganza, and that's a hard word to say. But yes, we made it.
As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friend, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And I'm Mike. And that was literally, someone said that. I think he was being critical of the podcast, yeah, but it was actually like the best description of the podcast ever. We did a takeover of the Volume's Twitter. And in response to them announcing we were going to do that, he responded, "That show is an N-word extravaganza."
And I was like,
I'm gonna tell you, if I never heard a pod before and I heard it described that way, I would be all in on that shit.
Right. I would run to that podcast. You know what I mean? That is crazy.
You're right.
So thank you, random guy on Twitter, for our new tagline.
I think his name was like Paul or something, which is fitting.
That sounds right.
What happened to Paul George night before last? But we'll start with the Hawks, huh?
Let's start with
2 out of 10.
That was good. No, it's good. You're dipping your toe in there. You know what I mean? That's good. Look at you.
Trying to grow up a little bit.
We're growing.
From the best.
Let's talk about Hawks Bucks. I think we all, well, everyone but me, predicted very confidently that the Hawks were going to lose this series on our last podcast. And goddamn, the little brothers that won the fight again, fucking Hawks. What did you guys think watching this game, and how in awe are we of Trae Young?
Listen, when he hit that motherfucking shimmy before hitting that three, bro, I shrieked. My wife ran into the room and asked if I was okay. I shrieked at the top of my lungs. I couldn't believe what I was watching, bro. I couldn't believe it. And
you were in the room by yourself watching the game.
I was in the living room by myself, and I shrieked when I saw that shimmy. I couldn't believe it.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. I don't want to overreact over one game, but goddamn, bud, the whole letting Trae do whatever he wants, that's not a sound defensive strategy, bro. It's not. When he went on that fucking lob streak, when he was throwing shit off the glass and shit in the third, I was like, goddamn, where did this motherfucker come from? I am thoroughly impressed with that kid, man. So impressed.
Trae Young's IQ is incredible. The way he makes decisions in traffic, throwing those lobs. Mm-hmm. The last two series, I didn't know where the niggas was coming from and he's doing this shit. I want to say this. Trae Young is fucking stamped. Cancel that fucking they lost the trade bullshit. He was probably going to be an all-timer. Like, dude, what we're seeing right now, the way he stepped up and hit them fucking free throws, heavy nuts. He had to drag his nuts to the fucking free throw line to hit them fucking free throws. He wasn't scared of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's averaging 29 and 10 in the fucking playoffs. In the fucking playoffs. He had 48 and 11 tonight, dog. Dude, Atlanta did not lose that fucking trade. The nigga is fucking stamped. Fuck anybody that thinks anything different.
Yeah, 48 points, 11 assists, and 7 rebounds. In his first game in the conference finals.
This is the first time he's fucking sniffed the fucking playoffs, bro. This is like me jumping in some vagina as a fucking, when I lost my virginity, and dropping fucking a triple-double going for like, you know what I mean? Going for like 40 minutes, getting her off like 4 times, nigga. You know what I'm saying? This is Trae Young in the playoffs. The first time he sniffed the shit. It's crazy to me, dog.
It is magical when he gets past the primary defender. The number of things when he's driving and he's at the elbow and it's teardrop, it's kick out, it's lob pass. It's lob pass off the fucking backboard.
That motherfucker there. Video game. Video game, bro. It's not, it's just, it's not fair. The dude is, and how does he see this shit at 6 feet? How does he see this shit? And it's always the right decision. Always.
Trae Young with the most points ever in a conference finals debut. Numbers 2, 3, and 4, Amare Stoudemire, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker with 41, 40, and 40. Trae Young with 48 points tonight at 22 years old. That's pretty good.
And he hit them big free throws at the end too on top of that. Like, you know, just like we know exactly what he has in him. And it's that dog, baby. It's beautiful.
That motherfucking Amari Western Conference Finals in 2005. Oh my God, bro. I'm going off track here, but you know, Jackson just brought that stat up. Do y'all remember that shit? Do y'all remember Amari blocking Tim Duncan's dunk at the fucking cup with the little wrist shit? Like, I thought Amari was the next big up, and he was really damn good, but those fucking injuries. But yeah, back on track. Motherfucking Trae Young. We need to talk about how dumb the Bucks are, though. Let's talk about that for a second. Because that fucking last play, 5 seconds down, you're down three, and you dump it off to Giannis under the cup, and they hacked the fuck out of him as they should have. He did knock both of those free throws down to his credit. But goddamn, why? Why do that there? Like, I can't even put this shit on Bud. Bud's dumb as fuck, but this whole fucking team's looking stupid.
Hey, Chuck said it. He called the whole team dumb. You know what I mean? And you just seconded it. You know what I'm saying?
So. Well, there is that, but you brought up earlier Bud saying, like, you know, we're trying to stop Trey. We're trying to stop every player or whatever. Like
no, bro. No,
this is the National Basketball Association, cute, dog. Yeah. Like this is the NBA. This is not Homer Simpson. I'm gonna win the fight by letting the other guy punch until he gets tired. Like he's gonna just keep scoring on you. He's Trae Young. Like I know he's 22. I know it's his first time, but what makes you think he's gonna run out of steam or whatever the fuck?
That was the worst. I know coaches be lying to us, but I truly believe Bud believed that shit. He was like, we just want to stop everybody. No, motherfucker, the first priority is stopping Trey. You cut the fucking head off the snake first and foremost, right? But,
that's you know, like I said, is, I, bro. That's where exactly, the venom is. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, like I said, I don't want to overreact over one game, but goddamn, if you're just going to let Trey do whatever the fuck he wants, dog, the Hawks are gonna win this shit if that's the game plan. Like, what the fuck?
So that's my next question for you guys is about the repeatability of this, because obviously Trey had to have like an all-time, 48, 11, and 7 for them to win this game. Do you think this is repeatable, or do you think this was a team beating their chest and then, you know, I don't know if they're gonna be able to do it again? What do you think?
Bro, we've been thinking Atlanta ain't gonna be able to do it since the first round, right? Like, I don't think I'm that guy anymore. Like, you know, there was a time when I saw the conference finals match, I was like, I think every team can win the finals except for Atlanta. I'm not that dude anymore after tonight. I think this shit is wide open, all four teams, and this shit can win it all, including Atlanta.
I feel the exact same. I do want to say Giannis had a great fourth quarter.
Balled out.
You know what I mean? Wasn't scared of shooting free throws. He suddenly hit some big-ass free throws. I mean, cashed them shits out. You know what I mean? So this wasn't like, you know, they caught the Bucks on a bad night. They beat the Bucks when they are the Bucks. You know what I mean? So, like, hey, man, I don't know. And like you said, I'm not going to count them boys out no more. And I would love to see Booker versus Trey in the finals.
Is there any outcome that we're rooting for more than Hawks Suns? Oh.
That's the most fun outcome, right? Like you can say that other outcomes might be a higher level of basketball, but Trey versus fucking Book is the most fun fucking outcome we can get.
What's and if it goes to overtime, take the other eight dudes off the court.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let me say what's right? But what's a higher level of basketball though? Because they play high level basketball too. You know what I mean? Like, and they're fun. You know what I mean? Like, I know getting the Bucks is in higher level. You know, with the street shark out there, you know what I mean? Like, that's not a higher level of basketball. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I think they both teams play high level basketball. It'd be fun as hell to watch. I'm rooting for that. You know what I mean?
Funny yeah. show. I mean,
we deserve it after that last year. We deserve it, dog. Well, NFL, I would say this is that would be the funnest outcome, period. Without you know LeBron you know winning a chip for us, but period. If you start with all eight teams on both sides of both conferences, that is a hella fun outcome right there. They both teams are playing the funnest basketball in the playoffs.
It's fun. It's historic. I mean, winning. I know people think big market. They think LA and New York, but Atlanta is you inspire a generation of NBA fans in Atlanta. You did a pretty good thing there as well. And to emphasize how historic it was, they put a graphic up that I could not fucking believe at the end of that game, because conference finals play started in 1971. This was the first conference finals win in Hawks history.
God damn. Wow.
Well, I'll be damned.
With Nick and them too. I mean, Nick and them wasn't getting nothing off.
Nah, fucking he's Bird was bouncing them boys every time they faced off.
That's pretty crazy. Our obviously another historic series, and holy shit, what a fucking finish. Suns, Clippers. I mean, it looks like we have two must watch every minute conference finals matchups. I'm so excited. Let's talk about the Valley Oop, which I fucking love. The nickname for that right away.
Yes.
What did you, Tyler? Did you shriek in the living room at the at the game winner? Your guys' reaction?
I was dumbfounded at that reaction. You know what I mean? That was some shit like, oh my god. We knew, you know, a fucking lob was probably coming, but them pulling it off was like, holy shit, that really fucking happened. You know, that was kind of the reaction I had there. And you know, DeAndre had a great quote where he said he was talking to Monty in the timeout when they were drawing it up. And he was like, okay, is this going to be offensive goaltending? And he's like, no, they can't call that on an inbound. And like DeAndre's like, that's my first time I learned that. And I was just rolling with it because coach said roll with it. You know what I mean? So I thought that was a great fucking quote there. But goddamn, Jay Crowder with that fucking pass, which was just as amazing as the fucking lob that DeAndre called.
More amazing. Probably more of it. Like, go stand.
Easy part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go stand anywhere behind a backboard and try and throw that pass. Just stand on your tippy toes. Try and throw it one time, one out of one times, and look at watch where the ball goes.
Out of bounds. It's the back of the backboard, out of fucking bounds, dog.
99 out of 100 times.
Yep.
The other time it hits the top of the backboard and bounces off the heel of the rim.
right. Dog. Special. And how good has DeAndre been, bro? All fucking playoffs, man. You know what I'm saying? He's been eating all playoffs. It's been all these young motherfuckers getting stamped, dog. Booker, Aiden, you know what I'm saying? Like, Trey, all these young dudes getting except for that boy Ben. Everybody got their stamp this year, except for that nigga Ben. You feel me?
But Ben's passport got revoked.
You said what?
His passport got revoked. All right, the stamps have been taken out of his book. Yeah.
You feel me? His ass got sent back home.
I loved Ayton after the, like, if you watch the replay of him, he was not celebrating. He, like, he got the ball down and then he was looking at the refs like,
is it true? Was Monty right?
Monty was right. That's not an offensive goaltending on an out-of-bounds play, right?
That's what I was told. It wasn't me. It was Monty.
And he said after the game.
He was ready to tattle.
He was ready to be that kid in the in Character Matters commercial.
Right. He's off me, ref.
Hell no. Fuck that nigga.
You know what else I loved about that play is that DeAndre Ayton, he took fucking Zubac. He grabbed his jersey. He turned that motherfucker into a lead blocker for a second and pushed him into fucking Booker, you know what I'm saying, to get free of it. And, you know, it's been overblown, the whole CP3 taught this team everything. You know, that narrative has been overblown. But look, if CP3 didn't teach DeAndre Ayton to do some shit like that, that's definitely the spirit of CP3 right there on that jersey pull, throw a guy into a screen to get free. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't want to
two
get...
things.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought of CP3, but then I thought of Omni-Man grabbing Invincible and running him through, and putting him through
the right. That's exactly what DeAndre did. He put that motherfucker up, and goddamn Book was the trade and shit, right?
Turned him into a hood ornament.
That's exactly what he did. Good for him. I love shit like that, bro. Like, if you can get away with it, go ahead and get away with it, bro. Grab that motherfucker's jersey back if you don't want him to get away with it, you know? So, yeah, that was amazing.
Gamesmanship. Gamesmanship. But let's talk about campaign. Hell of a fucking game.
What, 29-9, zero assists, zero turnovers?
Zero turnovers. Cam Johnson, too, hit some big game, big shots in the fourth quarter. Hey, they got a bunch of dudes that are just fucking hoopers. You know what I'm saying? When it's time to get a bucket, they got a few dudes that can go do that for them. And you need that. You know what I'm saying? They got some guys that just go get a bucket. Big moments. Booker was struggling, but they had other dudes that stepped up. And Booker even hit some big shots in the end of the game when I don't think he scored a bucket for most of the second half outside of free throws, and did some big ones towards the end of the game. Like, they got some fucking gamers on their squad, man. And what's wild, it really shows how good the Lakers really were. You know what I mean? They're the only team that has beat them. They were up 2-1 on this fucking squad. You feel me? You know what I mean? But moving on to like.
Okay, first of all, we'll acknowledge as a podcast that Paul George has largely had a very good playoffs. Okay, because we didn't talk about it, and I don't want to be fucking Skip Bayless about Braun, about anyone, about how fun they are to make fun of. Been playing great. I think we mentioned it a couple of times, but
for sure. No, he's
God damn, you missed two free throws in that situation,
miss those free throws.
Did you see his post-game presser? It was the saddest. Like, he just was so resigned. Like, I'm a great free throw shooter. I just was not successful. I think someone tweeted the stat out. It was his first 0-of-2 trip to the free throw line this season. God damn.
Bro, man. He probably was really like, damn, I'm me. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, like, it's fucked up because he's been playing so good, but he can't get away for these moments. And what's wild to me, and I tweeted it, is like, fuck the call prior to that. You know what I mean? And of course, it's Paul George that goes to the line and balances out the universe. You know what I mean?
The ball be lying.
It didn't lie in that situation.
Paul be lying. Paul
not
don't
in
lie.
That situation, though.
But Paul don't lie.
Paul don't lie. The ball be lying. Paul don't lie. You feel me? There we go. I'll take that shit. But yo, it's unfortunate. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate. But what's crazy, like when Trey went to the line, we knew Trey was hitting the free throw.
Ice Trey.
Never questioned it. He four times went to the line with the game in the same situation. Bucket, 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 bucket. Paul George, for whatever reason, like in them big, big moments, you know, it's missing.
So here's
I don't like his game. To me, his game, he has a pure. If I could choose anybody's game, I would to play like anybody, it would be Paul George. It's so beautiful, so effortless, it seems. You know what I mean?
That's what I wanted to ask you, because I think something we've talked about a lot on the show is how talent and personality are not necessarily linked up. Like, you could just be a really shy person who happens to be a great, like, singer or fucking basketball player or whatever, right?
Right, right, right.
If you were in the NBA, if I just like poof, you're 6'6" and you can shoot, what do you think your personality would be? Would you be a biff the fuck out of the free throws guy? Would you be a Kawhi Leonard? I'm good at what I do, but I don't want to fucking talk to anyone. Would you be Steph or Trey, like dancing on people? Like, who would you actually be as a person if you were in the NBA?
That's a good fucking question. I never considered that.
I'd probably Jay Crowder, nigga. Talking shit, not a clutch nigga at all. I just hit him. If I miss or don't make it, it's not like anybody surprised whether I make it or not. You know what I mean? I'm just a shooter and I play defense and I talk my shit. That's it, bro. You know what I mean? Like you know, if Jay Crowder made a bad pass there, would anybody have cared? Would anybody have thought like that's a bad pass? It'd have been like, we would have forgot the next day, right? That's me. I could not be Paul George.
No one would have been Paul George in that moment. Of course, Jay Crowder blows it. Like,
right, right. Yeah, that. That's yeah. me. That's me. Niggas hate me and love me depending on the moment. You know what I mean? But nobody really cares about me. That's me. That may be me in real life. That may be my actual social media. You know what I mean? For real. We're keeping it a stat. But I can't be Paul George, dog. I would have fucking barfed on the ball, literally. You know what I mean? That is a hell of a moment to be in. As the guy that's expected to make them in that moment, crazy.
Yeah.
Tyler, what do you think?
I don't know. You know, I feel like Kawhi is kind of closest to me, but I feel like Kawhi just doesn't like anybody. It's not even like he doesn't like, you know, I'm sure he likes his teammates. Let me say he's not outgoing with anybody.
You have too much fun.
You have way too much personality, dog.
I definitely feel like Kawhi is me around like coworkers and shit. That when he's in them in those post games and shit, like that's I see that Kawhi and I'm like, yes, that is me. You know, when I'm at the fucking Christmas dinner and shit. You know what I mean? So.
Are your basket okay? If you were a hooper, I don't feel like they would be your coworkers like they are in your current situation.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? It
depends on your personality.
No, but
they're
I don't
not Devin Booker's coworkers. Right, Devin Booker's got a deep relationship with his team.
Right. I'm talking about Tyler's person. I could see Tyler being like Booker, chasing a nigga down if somebody beat up Tyler, beat up Ulis. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I could see Tyler doing that for his back. I don't see him doing with the white men he worked with at the gig, dog. You know what I mean? I see him turning his back, you know what I mean? And ordered his food, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you know, if I was to go with someone who's not in the league, Tim Duncan would probably be me because he seems so dry and shit in media and all of his teammates and coaches are like, he's fucking a fun ass dude. You know what I mean? So that would probably be me. I would probably be like a Tim Duncan motherfucker who like, you know, only a select few get to see the real me and I don't give a fuck about everybody else.
You would step up to the line and hit both those free throws though?
I think so.
Wow.
It's just free throws, bro.
But you know what? The confidence, that's why you would do it. Cause you really think that. Nigga, yeah. I don't want no, bro.
I mean, shit goes really great if you knock him down, and if you don't knock him down, then who gives a fuck what strangers think about you not hitting those free throws, right? Like,
that is fucking, that is Tyler, you know what I mean? Right there. Right?
That
is Tyler.
That's also Tim Duncan.
Yeah,
that's TD. That's TD. You feel me?
I love that.
I'll be the big fundamental. I never really contemplated that, but yeah.
Yeah, dude, that fucked me up a little bit because I was not a Tim Duncan fan. As a Lakers fan of that era, I was not a Tim Duncan fan. You know what I mean? I hated Tim Duncan.
Right.
Well, he was cooking, and he was the exact opposite of the fucking Lakers, too.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, if we were going to lose, we were going to have fucking personality and fucking style and shit while we lost. Tim Duncan, I don't care if I'm beating you by 30 or losing to you by 30. You are getting these dead ass fish eyes.
Right. Those fucking 1,000 yard stairs, right? Yeah.
I don't think TD was as, I never thought TD was as boring as his game because of his shoe game. I remember him at Wake Forest having the coldest fucking sneakers. Like, there was this like, a mini doc about him like getting drafted and shit. He had the coldest fucking sneakers, and the ones he hooped in was fire. I'm like,
bro, those total foam posits are an all-time fucking sneaker.
Right,
bro.
He would not have signed with New Balance like Kawhi. You know what I mean? Like that nigga. You know what I mean? Like I always felt like his personality was just like he just didn't give a fuck about showing it to certain people, like you were saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The only negative side, by the way, let me point out, I
who
I
would you be? Yeah, it's your turn, Mike. Step to the podium. Who the fuck would you be?
I would be as sensitive as Kevin Durant, like for fucking sure. The talent, like game wise, I don't know. I would say that I also feel pretty good that I would not be afraid of those free throws. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm someone like when we've been in tough situations in my life or with my family or whatever, like I've been the dude who knew, like we were Shar and I outside of a football game, we were right across the street from a shooting that happened, really tragic shooting that happened in Long Beach, and I was a person who like immediately knew something bad was happening, grabbed Shar and put her down behind a car, you know what I mean, like before shit started going crazy. So I feel good about my like confidence in a moment in terms of basketball or whatever, but I think I would absolutely be super sensitive and like I'd have all the money and would still be on fucking Twitter talking shit to people like that. So I guess I would go with KD.
I feel more confident in life situations and the hard situations I've been in than on them free throws, because those free throws are in front of the whole fucking world and they really don't matter.
But it's just about aligning. But it's just about aligning that with your own view of your life, which like at least with work for me, with work pressure, and I've had some pressure situations or whatever. Not on that level. I obviously totally acknowledge that. But like to me, the work stuff is never, I've never stressed it as much because of the life stuff. You know what I mean? I think you hear athletes express that, and they tend to be the ones who are more comfortable at the free. I mean, you know what I mean? I know Isaiah Thomas has talked about that. Like, you know, the shit I've been through in real life, like this is fucking basketball.
Yeah. But I think the free throw, I think that situation is different. I think people who have been through heavy ass life shit, you feel me? Or I think would still step to that shit, those free throws and miss those free throws. Like, I think a lot of times with heavy life shit, it's like natural instinct takes over. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
it doesn't take over for a lot of people. A lot of people pee themselves. You know what I mean?
Like they'll freeze. And
100%. Your fight or flight just fucking locks up and you just. You know what I mean?
Swinging, nigga. Beep. I'm like, nigga. So
the one thing I did want to say about this game is that I love about sports that I don't think gets talked about enough in sports media is the different ways there are of experiencing sports. Like I've been to NBA playoff games on the road as part of a road trip that Shar and I were on. Like we were at games in Atlanta for the playoffs and just we're on a road trip, so we just go to games. It was super fun. I experienced a really fun way of watching the end of that game that I'd never experienced before, which is I was at Disneyland with our kids and everyone, when it got to like 10 seconds left, everyone had their phones out watching the game. So I just did Disneyland and there's just a section of people where we were who were watching the game and everyone collectively, a bunch of people, none of us knew each other, just, oh, like right around like with a couple second delay. It was cool as fuck, bro. Like technology, there's moments where technology is super super cool, because it was just like, that was the craziest shit I've ever seen. Phone back in the pocket. Let's go get a churro.
That's fucking awesome. It's, you know, moments like that, it's cool to have people who are fucking hand glued to their phones. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to that moment, man. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'll for sure be thinking about that with the Suns the rest of the way.
Dog, you ever really think about it? Your kids will never have a I came home and found out moment, probably. You know what I mean? Like, bro, I found out Tupac died on a Friday night after leaving a football game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to go home and turn on my TV and, you know what I'm saying, and find this out, you know, fucking 5-6 hours after he died. Like fuck Vinny and Maya, that's not going to be their reality, bro.
I'm confronted almost every day because they think that I'm fucking 90 years old with how different the world they're growing up in is. I had to explain to Vincent that when I played video games with my friends, they had to come over to the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he could play Among Us with his friends, like living anywhere. And like, literally every single story I could tell about the world that we grew up in sounds to them like I'm talking about riding a horse to the fucking market. You know what I mean? Like, my kids referred to the 90s the way we would talk about the 1800s. And like, if I say anything about growing up, they'll be like, that's how it was in the 90s.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
I haven't even told them I was actually born in the 80s, bro. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, they would fucking pass out. They would become a laughing stock. They would mock you. This motherfucker old as hell.
This motherfucker's from the 80s.
The 80s?
It is the 2020s, though, bro. Like, bro, you know what I'm saying? You tell a 7-8-year-old, yo, it's 2021 and I was born in the 80s. They're going to think you were fucking driving horse-driven carriages and shit. You know what I'm saying?
And they may as well have been right, because horse and carriages have more to do with the cars we grew up in than the world that we grew up in has to do with the digital world that these kids are growing up in. You know what I mean? Like, the only downside of this game that I do want to touch on was just the fucking replays, bro.
Oh my. Oh.
Like, I think they said there was, I think I saw there was as many replays in the final 2 minutes of the game as there were made goal, shots.
Right? Yeah.
Like, what do we do? Like I understand that we're not going to get rid of replays, right? It's, they're here to stay. They're going to quote unquote get the call right. But I would rather the calls be wrong than to have this shit take a half hour for the last minute or two of a game. So what do we do? Like, we put a chip in the ball. You know what I mean? So you just know when it's out of bounds or who touched it. Like, how do we fix this without play basketball for 3 seconds, stop and review it for 5 minutes? Like, what's the solution?
How long was that last minute? Because I would see that last minute and 8 seconds was probably,
I think they said it was 33 minutes for the final 2 minutes of the game.
Wait. Is that a fact?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's also shit like that.
I'll look it up. It might have been 2.5 minutes, but it was a stupid number.
Because I remember thinking, like, this is the longest minute in probably NBA history. It was ridiculous. But 33 minutes for the last 2 minutes? Like,
excuse me, the last 90 seconds of the game took 33 real-time minutes. 90 seconds.
What do you think, Tyler? I don't know what can be done. Like, just – like, stop with the replay shit. Like,
I mean, you want refs to get it right, but this doesn't even feel like refs being devoted to getting it right. It just feel like refs are refusing to get out their fucking way. That's what it feels like. And I don't know how we solve that. That's a problem. You know, refs getting in the fucking way of outcomes is something that we've always been complaining about. So I honestly don't know, man. I mean, do you want refs to get shit right? Of course you do. But do you want them fucking taking 33 minutes for 90 seconds and fucking up the momentum and the flow and the rhythm of the game and shit? Like, you know, that affects outcomes as well also. So I don't.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, people talked about that with Paul George. Like, I mean, they iced Paul George the fuck out before those free throws.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. I would love for this question to be something that my grandkids make fun of Vincent and Maya. Right. Here's my thought. If we have to get it right, get it all the way right and put the fucking computer chips in the ball. Like, at least for who touched it last. Some of this shit, it's the same thing with the NFL with out of bounds and whatever else. These dudes wear so much wearable technology at this point. Why? Like, why do we have to have, why we can still have refs, but we can also reduce the number of things that they have to make split second fucking decisions about. What are we really gaining? You know what I mean? Like, would it not be better for that 90 seconds to take 15 minutes with one or two reviews instead of five? Like, that's where I am with it at this point. It's like, it's getting worse and worse. It feels like in every sport. And so I'm just a straight up, put a chip in the fucking baseball that tells you whether it was what side of the line it came on, bro. Like, I'm with getting it right. I'm not with fucking up watching the game.
Just give them another, give them another review, each team. You know what I'm saying? Give each team another review in the last 2 minutes. And they can choose how to use that shit. But reviewing every out of bounds and shit is ridiculous. And part of the game is mistakes, dog. You know what I mean? Like, mistakes.
But there's also compensatory calls. There's also times when, you know, they didn't call a foul on someone, so they said that it was out on the other guy.
Yeah.
And then when they go and review it, they can't do the foul, but they have to say it was out on the, you know, like,
right.
There's times when the officials, the human element actually is helpful, but the reviews are not allowing them to officiate in the flow like that. So I don't know, but it fucking sucks. It was the only thing that sucked watching that whole game back. It was the only thing that was just, I fast forwarded so fucking much over that last stretch. Like, let me just get to the basketball, bro. The NBA ratings that we were told were going to completely fall off a fucking cliff. They were lying. The NBA is its highest market share since they've been taking that stat. I believe the total viewership's up like 21%. Are we surprised that good basketball is getting people to watch the playoffs?
Absolutely not. And, you know, I felt like all of those arguments with all the hand-wringing about how, we just got to speak in clear terms. When people talk about the NBA losing the casual fan, they're talking about the NBA losing conservative older white people. Let's just keep it a buck here. But that's not the NBA's demographic. The NBA is super young. I think the average age of the NBA fan is like 38 years old, and the average age of the MLB fan is like 54 years old from like some studies I've seen and shit. So the average NBA fan is young. Young people embrace young talent. Yeah. Yeah, like, bro, the MLB has a legit concern about their fan base literally dying off. Like, that is something that they are legit concerning about and planning for over the next, like, 15, 20 years. I'm not making this shit up, man.
Tyler, when you come out here, you can watch 20 minutes of the Dodgers game at the crib, and you will see exclusively cholesterol and dick pill ads, bro.
They know the demo. They know their
fucking
demo.
I've been having to give talks to Vincent and shit just off commercials from...
fucking having the bird and the beast talking, so he got blasted out of my Viagra commercial and shit.
What's
Johnson commercial? Yeah.
What's correctile dysfunction? You know,
correctile. I fucking love it. But yeah, but that's the whole thing, bro. It's a young, it's a sport with a young fan base, and young fans embrace young talent, and that has been the story of this postseason: the emergence of young talent, the emergence of the new guard in the NBA. So I'm not shocked at the increase in the ratings. I think that people who are doing all that hand wringing, I mean, like I said, I you kind of see the ulterior motives from a lot of those bad faith arguments anyway. So
you know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under, and it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel is the exclusive home for Over Under, and it's available in all 50 states, so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/overunder and sign up now if you haven't done so already. Just create a new FanDuel account if you don't already have one. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at FanDuel.com/overunder. It could be worth up to $5,000. Age and local restrictions apply. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. So, you're a sports fan. That's why you're listening. But if you're considering getting in on the fun of sports gambling, I want to let you know about a great resource, the Action Network. The Action Network is where fans go when they're ready to bet smarter and turn a profit betting on sports. In fact, their free Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting. With the Action app, you can see the latest picks and articles from Action Network gambling experts, as well as personalities like Colin Cowherd. You can compare odds from different sports books and track every bet you make so you always know how your picks are doing. So if the game means more to you, download the free Action Network app and start betting smart. We're going to do a three-part. I'm going to let you guys pick who the booger boy of the week is.
We got a fucking trio. Booger boy trio.
We're gonna do a live. We're gonna end on a live.
Let's not
poll.
Use Paul George. Get him out of there. We can't.
It's not Paul George.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. That money.
Number one, the cop who arrested Alex Caruso for possessing marijuana.
Hey, I'm. You know, people talk about Alex. Good for Alex. Good for him smoking fucking weed, dog. You fucking kidding me? Like, dude, it's just weird that it's illegal anywhere at this point. Fuck that shit.
I believe he was arrested by a college police officer.
Yeah, at Texas A&M. Like, bro, you are the best hooper to ever come out of Texas A&M. Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
What's that cop thinking? You know, he's in a business where you're a
You know what he's thinking.
He's being a cop.
And he's the, you know what I'm saying? And he's like the, like most cops aren't even that trash. So, you know what I mean? Arrest
most cops are not arresting NBA players for marijuana possession. 100%. Like, yes,
on a college campus, bro. What are you doing? You think it's gonna get you a promotion? Fuck that shit.
Yeah, like
that is not how college police officers work.
Right. Like, ain't no fucking boosters happy that. The best hooper to ever come through there got fucking busted. That recruits are gonna second think about fucking security campus police now. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, you are not a hero right now for that shit.
Did you see Caruso, like, really? Yeah, he was no fear. Nothing. It was just like
the mugshot was the most annoying shit. Yeah.
Can we get this over with? That's what his face said. You know what I mean?
Like, bro, it's 2021 and motherfuckers are still getting arrested for weed, dog. Come on.
You can get weed Postmates to your house where John are like, right?
Yes, I do get, I've got weed delivered, and they got weed places out here that look like the fucking Apple store. Medmen. I don't shop
most of
there.
Them look like most, you know, like saying? Most of the legal weed places look like the fucking, you know what I mean?
Dog,
in LA, like, and Long Beach, they're super fucking,
it's so wild, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they break the strain down, they have 3D fucking visuals, like dog, nigga, and you keep locking people.
They have
up
the Jurassic them. Park DNA visualization.
Right, you feel me? Right. Showing the helix shit, and shit. Made, the needles, you know what I mean? Like, dog, stop.
The infusion
shit
of the strains.
Right. The nugget is fucking, you know, you could turn it in the air. Dog, stop it with that shit. It's so weird.
Okay. Booger Boy nominee number two, Bobert Griffin III, who tweeted a video of his wife working out today. Apparently, Tyler, you had the best commentary on it. Apparently, trying to show people, oh, look, she's a white woman with a butt, therefore you should use her as a trainer.
Right, like, bro, like he said, you know, he posted this weird ass video of his girl, his wife doing squats, and he was in the fucking corner, like, you know, curling and, you know, sweating her while she was doing her squats and shit. And then he said, like, yeah, I just did this to show y'all that white women have butts, and now y'all need to fucking support her business. I'm like, bro, I don't even know what your wife's business is, and I'm not clicking on that link either, because this is the dumbest fucking rollout or promotional, whatever the fuck. Bro, fuck Bob for that one, man. What the fuck was that?
That was the grossest. I was like, this is gross.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like a sweaty, it was like the tweet was moist, nigga.
It was moist.
You know what I mean? I'm like, you know what I'm saying?
The tweet had a flop sweat.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the back of the knee sweat in the summertime. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I felt, Reed. I'm like, nigga, stop that shit. This damn ass tweet.
Okay, Booger Boy nominee number three is Jay Williams, who tweeted that he was proud of the Celtics for hiring their first, not just black person, but their first person of color as their head coach with the announcement today. Worth pointing out that the Celtics, 5 of their 17 NBA championships, they had a black coach.
Bro, what the fuck, Jay? What the fuck, Jay?
Like, there were so, it was funny because it was a knowledge off in the replies. Someone like put a picture of Doc Rivers, and then Celtics fans below that were like, Doc is like not, by far not the first black head coach either.
They had the first black head coach in North American professional sports with Bill Russell. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, bro.
As a player coach, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a player coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he was also a coach after that as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But dog, look. And then the apology. That's what I want to talk about. The motherfucking apology. He said he was hacked. He said he was hacked by the first hacker ever in the history of hackers who hacked him to praise a black person instead of calling them the N-word. When have we ever seen a hacker hack a motherfucker and not use the N-word when talking about black people in Boston? At that, he said he got hacked by a good vibes hacker, bro. That doesn't exist. But those motherfuckers out there to cause chaos. And he said he got hacked by a, hey man, let's give props to the black man here, hacker.
No, John's right. He got hacked by the only hacker who knows the phrase person of color.
That was the perfect time to say nigga with a hard R. The first to coach the Celtics.
The
and they
Celtics
said
person
of color. Right. Fuck out of here.
He
dog.
Tweeted, quote, because everything about this says I'm lying right now. As it really, apropos of nothing, not a reply, just a new tweet from Jay Williams. As it relates to the Boston Celtics tweet that came from my account a couple of hours ago, I did not post that. And my passcode.
Passcode? Who the fuck says passcode?
Bro, I hate, like, he was my favorite college player because he was so good. I wish I never heard him speak. I mean, there was one time, like, after interview after, like, one of the games, I was like, this nigga might be a lame. But I just, you know, I didn't all the way know. But now I all the way know. You know what I mean? I'm like, dog, it's just so shit. It's so fucked up that he's become this. You know what I mean? Like, he's such a fucking lame, dog. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I could say this, but I had an opportunity. Maybe edit this shit out. I had an opportunity to interview this nigga. And I'm like, he's my favorite college player of all time. And I was like,
Can't do it.
I wanna fuck up and say with this motherfucker. I wish you wasn't a bitch. You know, like, that's what I'm gonna say to this man. Damn, it hurts me that you're such a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, but damn, man, like
okay, so who's your pick? John, you're picking Jay Williams.
I'm picking Jay Williams.
Yeah, definitely.
But also it's hard to go against the Bob Griffin shit. That's
going with Bob Griffin.
That's rough.
I don't know.
I'm going with Bobbert.
And we all know why. But we're not gonna say it on Chickens and Jones.
Like, I feel like Bob was detached. I feel like Jay just thinks we're stupid though, bro. You know what I mean? So I'm casting my vote for Jay here, bro.
Yeah, it's Jay, but we'll talk about the real reason in the group chat.
That's our time for the week. We'll be back on Monday. Please enjoy a great weekend of games. Like I said, we'll be back to our regular schedule dropping on Monday next week. Be sure to subscribe to The Volume on YouTube for video versions of the episodes. Give us the 5 stars and tell all your friends to subscribe and all that good shit. And we'll see you on Monday. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.